You wore him earlier?
No, that was yesterday.
So what did you record? We said you recorded earlier.
Did I?
Didn't he? I thought you said you recorded earlier.
No, mate. I dreamt that I'd recorded earlier.
That's early for you.
I dreamt that I'd recorded. I've dreamt all of this.
Yeah.
There are no surprises today. I've already dreamt this
day. So whoever you pick...
I don't know what the fuck's happening.
Whoever you pick is definitely going to win.
I've somehow ruined my own brain in the last week or so. I'm not quite sure how I've done it. But I'm dreaming the days before they happen. So anyway... I know today's already a mess, so I've just already given up on it.
Let's go to bed.
Yeah.
Let's knock this out so you can get to bed early. All right, today we are sponsored by us.
Oh, hi everybody, welcome to the Outlook Podcast.
I thought you'd done that already.
Did I do
that? The fuck is going on? Are you all right?
Did I do that?
I think you did do that.
Did I do it? Hello everybody and welcome to the Outlook Picks Podcast. Da-da-da-da-da-dun. Go on, do your bit.
No, we should have some music.
We should.
Maybe we can, yeah.
We can't use that music though.
No?
No.
No.
I've got a remix of it somewhere. A Pride music remix. It was awesome.
Yeah, but it was. All right, I'll start again, having you, seeing as you've already started again.
Go on, then.
We're brought to you by us, the Full Reptile Collective, fullreptile.co.uk. If you have a look on the website, we have a whole range of training hoodies, training tracksuits, lifestyle sweat tops. We've got new lifestyle t-shirts out. We've got new training t-shirts out. We have a whole range of all kinds of different clothing, training, and for chilling in. So if you roll over to fullreptile.co.uk and use the code OUTLAWED, you'll get 10% off at your checkout. We're also brought to you by our friends C4, who are keeping us going and keeping our blood fueled with caffeine. If you go to c4energy.com and use the code FULLREPTILE, you get 30% off your order with C4. Unfortunately, as we always say, it's just for our US fans or followers. Fans is a bit rich, isn't it?
It is a bit. It's a bit presumptuous.
Yeah, it's a bit presumptuous, you know. Isn't it?
Listeners.
Those in the US that tolerate the podcast.
Impartial listeners.
Yeah.
It's the most we can ask for.
What I've just said. A lot.
Yeah.
Those who tolerate us in the US and also like C4 and caffeine-based beverages, then
The boys at the gym like it.
We had
the delivery and two-thirds of it is gone.
Gone. We need another one. Like, Angel, send more, quick.
Fucking Tom Owen was rubbing it in his armpits the other day. I'm not sure exactly whether that gets into the bloodstream quickly or something.
Our water bill at the gym's gone down because they're just bathing this now instead of post-training bathing C4. They're desperate for C4 to
sponsor. That's why I walk in at 9 o'clock in the morning and it's like happy hardcores bouncing. Yeah. Oh,
it's painful, isn't it?
It is.
You know that Special Forces program where you go on and do all of that? Mate, come to the gym in the morning on Monday.
Yeah.
Stand there for 20 minutes doing a warm-up with that music going on. That'll sort people out.
Getting waterboarded by Jimmy's t-shirt.
That'll sort you out. Don't worry about it.
It's horrible. Yeah.
The music's the worst bit. The waterboarding is like relatively all right.
It's horrible.
Compared to the happy hardcore.
It's horrible.
Helter Skelter. I remember having maybe 8 tapes in a like almost like a book, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you remember? Uh-huh. You like open the book, there'd be 8 happy heart, Helter Skelter.
Helter Skelter.
Yeah, dark times in my life. Yeah.
So you do have memories of past times.
I do,
times,
yeah. But that's like...
Is that why?
Yeah, ingrained on there. I can't forget that.
That's why. You fell into a hole at some point in your late teens and you lost half of your childhood.
Exactly
because of it.
What happened.
Maybe you loved Star Wars.
Maybe
you've watched all of it.
I just don't remember it. Yeah, anyway. Different times. So Full Reptile at the checkout, c4energy.com, and you'll get 30% off your orders. What a card, Dan. What a weekend it was.
Yeah, mate.
Loved it.
It was awesome. In fact, I'm going to pull it up right now.
I loved it.
Pulled up. I've only got this weekend's card pulled up.
All right. Let's chat about some of the smaller fights from that card, from 266, because they were almost as much fun as the big ones, dogs.
Where do you want to start?
Semmelsberger, I thought, was class.
Mate.
Now, we knew it was a bit of a mismatch. We knew it was, we didn't know anything. We didn't know what the fuck was going on, how this had come about.
Yeah.
But he just looks good.
Yeah.
He just looks better. Now, I know that's a bit of a...
He believes it as well, doesn't he? In his post-fight interview, he was full of confidence.
Well, he was a bit annoyed. He was like, I was ready for like Yeah. I was ready for a walk.
Yeah, he wanted a longer fight.
I've done so much training for this and it's over already.
You landed three strikes.
I don't know what you think, but just the way he sort of moves and bounces in and out and the way he conducts himself, he just looks like there's a little bit of something in there.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. He's a real fun addition to the division.
Yeah, I hope he continues his run. It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah. And I can't remember which one of the commentators said it, but someone was talking about his opponent. And they were just like, yeah, he's just not ready for this level. It was a bit like Diaz had done him a favour getting him on the card.
Like we said in the preview, I swear that's what's happened. Yeah. I want my mate to fight.
Yeah, Maximov won though, didn't
he? Yeah, no, he was good. He was good.
Even though it was like, I don't know what his opponent was doing.
Yeah.
Like he didn't seem to want to work out of any bad positions.
No. Yeah, I don't know. It was a weird one.
Yeah. Jaden Turner looked good as well.
Yeah.
Really good.
I thought Jonathan Pearce looked good against Omar Morales, who's he's a tough dude, isn't he?
And Chris Daukaus.
Yeah, the beard.
I told you, man.
The beard, bro. The beard's changed it all.
Well, he's the new mystical creature on the MMA circuit, isn't he? Is the bearded Daukaus.
I like it.
Yeah. His brother's on this weekend's card, isn't he? We'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll chat in a bit.
Mate, I'm telling you, he's good. He's slick.
Yeah.
He's very fast. He's very accurate. And as he said, he won the fight twice. He stopped him twice, didn't he, basically? Unreal. Like, clean shots.
Fair dues, man.
Both of them that put him down.
He's coming, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's coming. Dan Hooker, that's probably as good as we've seen him, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Probably as good as we've seen him. He was just prodding him and walking him down. And I know what you'll say when I say this. Some of his ring craft was really nice, but then he got a little bit lost sometimes, didn't he? And then he just sort of chasing him. But he would cut him off. Like, he was doing the things that we've talked about. He did, he uses those fence, but he did cut him off. Mm. But sometimes, it's a fight, isn't it? And he got lost and he ended up sort of like doing three laps of the octagon.
Yeah. But you can tell that he was managing it, though, and he was trying to pull himself back a little bit. Yeah. And I think that's where, like, when we saw him fight Felder in New Zealand, and it was like the event was on his shoulders, you kind of felt like he was trying to deliver, and he had such a good first round.
Like, mana overtook him.
Yeah.
He was good to go.
He looked really great. Good against Hak Parast. And I think Hak Parast is good. He's not at that level quite yet where Dan Hooker's
not
been
far
contending.
Off, though, is he?
No, not far off. It's just such a deep
months.
Division, though, isn't it?
Yeah. 18 months, a couple more fights, maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
He's certainly one to keep an eye on. But it's so difficult to know who's gonna get ahead in the in the lightweight division, because it's such
it's
a deep division.
Division,
it's
it?
Brutal. Yeah. And one bad decision, one bad performance, one knee surgery throws you out entirely, and then you're out of the mix, and it's difficult to get back in.
Yeah, it's like,
I like watching him. I do, and he impressed me, like I said last week, against Mark Jacasey. And I think that's where we really saw what you can do.
He was great. I just thought he looked in control, didn't he? He looked in control of everything he was doing. Just like a team sport reference, people say you never give people a chance in your shirt. If you get the chance to play, you play, because as soon as someone steps in your shirt, that might not be your shirt anymore and you lost it.
Yeah.
That's a bit like that. It's a bit like the lightweight division, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's tough. Mate, it's interesting what he said post-fight about the sort of carnage that's going on in Australia and New Zealand with the lockdowns and stuff, and them not completely over the full story, but sounds like the government have not been supporting their gym and helping them stay open, helping them train and stuff, so they're like, fine, we'll leave.
Mm.
And they're going to move City Kickboxing to the US.
Wow.
I'm assuming temporarily.
Yeah.
Or, being a little bit cynical, they're making a big deal of it, and then the government start taking notice, and then they,
Maybe. Maybe, but the issues with travel were just, they're causing everybody problems, aren't they?
Yeah. And like, I think Dan wasn't seeing his kids for like long periods of time.
Long periods of time.
Yeah.
We were seeing them out the window of a quarantine hotel, which must have been even worse.
Bonding.
Yeah. It's, it must be rough, and you've got to appreciate their efforts to be competitive, to stay active.
It's amazing. There's a lot of like top level fighters coming out of that gym. Like, they've got to do what they've got to do, haven't they?
Yeah. So Volkanovski would have stayed in the US then after the Ultimate Fighter. He would have not gone back to New Zealand, surely.
No, he wouldn't have done.
I didn't watch the countdown show. I normally do.
No, I normally don't anymore. I don't know why.
Do you not?
No.
I usually try and get the countdown show. I don't do embedded anymore. I'm sick of seeing fucking suitcases on luggage trains. And
in slow-mo.
People throwing random stuff into a bag that you know full well is actually not them packing, because it requires so much more focus than that. Who else do you want to talk
Marais
about?
Marais and Kvalishvili.
Oh, mate.
Wow. How pissed off would he must be? He'd done it. It was done.
Is that one decision where he allows Dvalishvili to grab a hold of him and pin him up against the fence for a second.
And he just got his breath. And he just let him do it. Just like,
you know,
the fuzz dissipated a little bit, and he just knew what he had to do.
Yeah.
Mate, I messaged you, didn't I? I don't think you'd seen it when I messaged you, but the Cerro Longo corner.
They're brilliant.
It's just insane. There was three people shouting at him at the same time, and he was just like, fuck yeah! That's all they needed to do.
Maybe that's all he needs. You know, maybe that's all
so
he needs.
It was so funny. Like, he couldn't have comprehended one of the conversations that was going on. He was just like,
fuck yeah, Marab! Fuck yeah! Fuck yeah, Marab! I mean, that's what more do you need?
What more do you need?
Fuck yeah! Yeah, fuck right. yeah!
It worked.
It fucking did, didn't it?
Yeah, and, man. I mean, he's tough as old boots, isn't he?
That fight should have been a finish for Moraes. You know, he should have had him out of there. He made that one bad decision to allow him to clinch him. But then
after the tables had turned, Moraes, they should have called that fight earlier, right?
I think so. It was over 100 unanswered shots. Yeah, it was shots. A lot. And the thing is, it's a fine line, and I get it, because, like, they're not massive shots. They're not massively concussive shots. I mean, especially from that range. He's like, Marab's not pounding him. They're not Khabib shots.
No.
Like when you're watching Khabib against Michael Johnson and he's clubbing him with shots that you can hear thud, as well as him talking to him.
Or
Marab's exhausting.
Yeah.
You know?
Or
Ortega was getting punched by
Johnny Walker. When Johnny Walker ground and pound, like, that's some concussive thuds, isn't it?
Like when he misses and you hear him hit the canvas. Sure.
And the structural engineers come in and rearrange the canvas.
Yeah. I understand it, because, like, there's not one of those strikes where you watch him and go, You just, every single one is like, you know.
It's got to be a cumulative effect to that, though. And
I think that's more damaging in the long run than one big concussive blow.
Yeah.
Like, I remember fighting a guy, so it was my first fight in Japan. And when I went out there, my plan was to cut 6 pounds to make weight.
Yeah.
And I wasn't able to use the sauna. So I had to...
Tattoos.
Exactly. Yeah. So I had to bin bag up.
Wrong sauna.
Trash can.
Should call the Yakuza. They could use their sauna.
Yeah. I had to give my finger, though. I didn't want to lose it. Maybe one way to lose weight.
Yeah.
Didn't think about that.
Not quite 3 pounds. Maybe.
No, not quite. So I had to, you know, bin bag and sweatsuit and sauna and just run the streets. Unfortunately, it was like, you know, April or May, I think it was. Yeah. So it was kind of warm. I was exhausted by the time fight came around, and the guy I was fighting was favorite to win the tournament. He was just tough as old boots. Like, I think he was like 20-1, old school judoka, just fucking basically the Japanese like Jimmy Warled. You know what I mean? Just like
Jesus.
And I hit him with everything, knocked him down twice in the first round, but just I gassed and didn't have enough to put him away. But then that was his last fight. Like, I did more damage to him by just beating him up gradually for 15 minutes than I did to anybody else I did knocking him out with one shot. And, like, I think, you know, if you look at boxing, like the research that we've got from boxing, it's the gradual trauma with the bigger gloves over years and years of sparring more than anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Anyway, like, they should just, like, if we're, like, I could feel where he was at. Like, I could feel that he's not going to come back from there. Like, there's not enough response to the strikes that made me think there was anything other than this is just going to peter out to be stopped. Do you know what I mean? And I know, like, we go over and over and over it, and there is things in place, but if refs train, they know. Like, if I can empathise about how that, like, I know where he's at.
Yeah.
Like, if refs can know where they're at, it's just like, oh, it's an easy decision, isn't it?
Yeah. So sometimes people just don't have that level of empathy, though, do they?
Yeah.
You know, they can't put themselves in someone else's position. Like, I think it would be easier if it was, I mean, first of all, if there were more people to decide. Mm. I mean, you know, obviously we're gonna get onto it, but, like, talking about the Volkanovski-Ortega fight. Now, of course, there were times in the fourth and fifth round where Ortega was moving well on his feet and he was attacking and he was threatening. And you can make an argument for him being in the fight.
Yeah.
But at the end of the third, when he couldn't get back to his stool without assistance, like, that's the point when you're like, okay, this is just a downward spiral from this point. And yeah, okay. I mean, he's taken something like nearly 600 shots in his last three fights.
Mad.
Like, if you think how much damage he took superficially, then you've got to think what that's going to look like in the long run.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sitting there thinking, and, like, I'm you know, I don't want to be the fucking stop the fight guy because you know how much I love a knockout. Yeah. But what I don't like is to see like that gradual tenderizing of someone's brain. Unless I'm doing it. But yeah. that's the game, isn't it? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like from an investor in my life in the sport, I want the sport to be maintained. Mm-hmm. And what I don't want is someone like Ortega to then slip into a coma and then that not wake up because then that changes everything. It's the same with the Calvin Kattar thing.
Do you see it different in a title fight? Or is it the same rigid rules, irrelevant of what's at stake sort of thing?
No, it's not the same rules. I think, you know, from like amateur to semi-pro to pro to title fight level, elite level is
difference
is
between
different.
Title fight and pro fight. Like elite pro fight and title fight. Because of the
I don't know. I'm kind of the opinion that okay. My issue with the Ortega fight is that it wasn't handled properly at the end of the third round. Mm. If it was handled properly, as the way it should have been handled by the commission standards, the fight would have been stopped. Mm. So we wouldn't be having this conversation anyway.
Yeah.
Right? At the end of the third round, when Ortega can't get up off the floor, he's laying down. The cutman comes over and starts working on him while he's laying down. First of all, no one can touch him until he's on his feet. He has to get up of his own accord.
Right.
And it has to be in the first 10 seconds. Right? If he's not up on his feet, it's waved off. But if you watch what happens is he's laying down, the cutman starts working on him, then his corner man comes in, he puts the stool behind him, grabs him under the arm and lifts him onto the stool.
We're in some pretty dodgy territory.
Immediately
this stage,
dodgy.
Really, yeah.
Immediately
and
dodgy.
And that is the commission's rules. That is the commission's rule. That standardised across anywhere in that state, I'm assuming.
Literally, Volkanovski has just... He said it on the Ariel Helwani show. Let me just find it. Because he said it correctly, word for word.
Yeah, why you find that? I've said earlier to you, but someone memed this morning. Herb Dean is like, how many fingers am I holding up? And he says, banana. And he goes, yep, you're fine. Off you go. Keep going.
But that's the thing as well. He's like, there was a conversation going on at the end of the fourth round between Ortega and a doctor who was speaking, I think, Spanish or Portuguese, and Herb.
Yeah.
And Herb doesn't speak Spanish or Portuguese, from what I understand, or he was ignoring what was being said because, like, Ortega had told the doctor that he wasn't able to see.
Yeah.
You know? But even at the start of the fourth round, when they say to him, can you see? If your answer is, yeah, I guess, like, don't fucking guess whether you can see.
That's it.
I don't feel
like I'm allowed to say no, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. He
lost his teeth. He was like, anyone, please tell me I should not carry on.
Yeah,
anyone?
Devin Clark. Which I don't think was the same when Anthony Smith was losing his teeth. But still, that might have been a scenario where you could have pulled him out. He wasn't going to do anything in that last round, was he? Anyway, this is what Volkanovski said on to Ariel. He said, it shouldn't have been up to the corner. They should have made a 10-second assessment. And as soon as he wasn't answering, he was answering questions wrong, it's done. Right? At the end of that round, when he couldn't get up, and when they helped him up onto the stool...
Is he referencing that 10-second rule you were talking about, that you have to be on your feet by 10 seconds? Yeah. That's what he means, the 10-second assessment.
The 10-second assessment.
Yeah,
and same fucking thing that happens. The round ends, Herb steps in, and he waves the fight off.
Yeah.
Right? And he did exactly the... It makes me angry. He did exactly the same fucking thing with Cowboy Masvidal.
Mm.
Cowboy was dropped on the bell. And Herb stood there and waited, and he was fucking wandering around the octagon. He was sat on his stool. They were asking him questions. He was staring off into nowhere.
Yeah.
No 10-second assessment.
Yeah.
And he also waved that fight off at the end of the round and then let it start in the next one. And then Cowboy was stopped. Yeah. It's just, like, the problem is, a clean knockout, brilliant. Mm. And that's why I prefer MMA gloves over big gloves, because you don't get that gradual concussive bang, 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 bang.
It's like whenever I, like, sort of... get into the argument with people, well, not the argument, the discussion with people that are newish to MMA or don't really understand MMA, and I just talk about standing eight counts and the difference between, like, they like boxing but they don't like MMA. I'm like, you're going to do more damage in boxing with those standing eight counts than you are going to get knocked out in 4-ounce gloves. Definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
Because most people that get dropped with a concussive shot that are not out unconscious can kind of get it back together in 10 seconds, especially if you're a fighter.
Yeah.
Especially if you've already got the preset.
Like a process, yeah.
Especially if you've already got the preset. Like, you could be completely elsewhere in your mind.
Mm.
In your mind, your subconscious, you might be in the gym, but you can put your hands up.
Yeah.
You know, you're responsive because you're trained to be responsive. That's what you train your subconscious to do. Mm. It doesn't mean you're conscious you're when your subconscious is doing it. Like Kevin Lee shooting in on Charles Oliveira, or that fighter in one that was heel hooking the referee. Yeah. You know, we just talked about it. It's like the subconscious can be trained to do stuff responsively. And I think we were seeing some of that in the Marlon Moraes fight.
Mm.
Same thing again. You know, he was scrambling like out of habit, out of training, not out of the fact that he was conscious.
But even it wasn't the same pace that if he was completely all right. He wasn't scrambling at the same pace. No. There was no edge to it. There's no like I'm going to do this and do that and do that and then you know I'm going to retake a position. It was more like kind of slow moving through positions because he was just churning out what he does in training. There's no intent. There's no real intent.
Like, it kind of felt like what I do when I'm doing the pads with the guys and we do a knockdown against the fence and I'm like scrambling but to this give is, them
yeah,
the opportunity.
I'm in this position. Hit me sort of thing.
Kind of felt a bit like that.
Yeah.
Like that's where my issue is. Like if that, like Volkanovski said, with that 10-second assessment, that fight would have been done in the end of the third, and no one would have been bothered that it was finished at the end of the third. Yeah. Like you know, the crowd would have maybe booed for 15 seconds if the doctor waved it off. But then when was the guillotine attempt?
Round four.
It was the third one too. Yeah, it was the third. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Volk was so funny, man. The way he explains it was so funny. He's just like, I was like, it was deep, mate. Fucking deep, mate. Fucking hits nearly gonna pop off, mate. Fuck me. Saw me belt going.
Mate, fair play to him.
Yeah, it's great.
When I was
his head started going purple for a second, didn't it?
Yeah. That's why I had that close shave the morning of the fight.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying to the sub radio guys. Like the prediction that I settled on was that Ortega was gonna snatch it with something like that. And I mean, when I saw that, I'm like, okay, this is
Couldn't be any closer, could it?
Ortega's third round. This is what he does. You know, it's what he did against Moicano.
Volk's suffocating, man, isn't he?
He's brilliant.
Just suffocating.
He's fucking brilliant.
He's
never
fully out. It doesn't. Obviously, he isn't in and out of range, but he never feels like he's fully out of range. Like it looks like he always feels like he can touch you. He's just right on that borderline, isn't it? And it must put questions in your head. You're like, ah, oh, fuck. What do I need to do here? I need to do something. Oh, no, I don't.
Most of his movement is feinting as well.
Yeah.
Like, you see that a lot with the kickboxers I've been watching on this one championship card that we did a preview for it yesterday. That is a shit hot card, by the way. One championship first strike. It's like an old K-1 tournament.
Yeah, wicked.
He moves like them. Like the kickboxers that are a constant pace fighter like Enrico Kell or someone like that, who's like every single movement could be the next attack.
Yeah.
So it kind of keeps him on the edge. And Ortega was kind of waiting to counter, and you don't know when to go with your counters.
He did
a couple of
beautiful, like he did that. He did that leg kick fake where he pauses that we talked about in the preview just to see what happens.
Yeah.
And I think he rolled back and threw an inside leg kick off it, or maybe a left hook. And he also did he darted out to the right and then came in with a right hand left hook. It's fucking perfect. And it just, the way he moved just froze Ortega just for a split second, just froze him because he darted so fast to his right and then he just went bam, bam and landed both of them.
He's good, isn't he?
I don't think he beats Max.
You know what? Yeah.
I don't think he beats Max.
You know, the thing is, it's like Max looks
awesome.
I know they will.
All over in the comments on the channel about it. They'll be seething about that.
Like, it's only based on opinion. Mm. It's only based on opinion. And you know, we're all entitled to ours. But the thing is with it, like, Ortega looked really good against Korean Zombie, but Zombie was there to look really good against. My question is Holloway much better than he was the last two times he fought Volkanovski, or was Keita the right fighter for him to look awesome against?
Yeah, maybe.
You know? I don't know.
He knows, isn't it?
Having said that, Keita against Korean Zombie would be a really good fight, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Max's output in that Kelvin Keita fight, but I don't know whether that was just because it was the perfect opponent.
Mm.
Like, Max against Korean Zombie, would he have had the same kind of output? Probably, because Zombie's there to be hit. Like he did against Ortega, because Ortega's there to be hit, but Volkanovski's not.
Yeah.
And like the way that Max's output dropped off against Volkanovski compared to what he would do against other people, it's you know.
Max is fighting, right? Max is fighting Yair.
He is, but I mean, they've got to get to the fight, and I'm not saying that because I think Max will pull out, but Yair is constantly injured, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's constantly out of fights and stuff. I'm not holding my breath. It's November 13th. We've still got a while to go yet. Yeah. There's a lot of time to get injured.
Anyway, loved it. Ortega is tough as fuck.
Mate, ridiculous.
Volk is unreal. Love him.
I can't get over Max's output in his last fight. Though. Yeah. And someone corrected us. You're very correct. Because I said he threw 445 strikes and he landed 445 strikes.
That's crazy.
He threw 746.
Mad.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Quickly before we get onto the people's main event, Tyler Santos was good with Roxanne, wasn't she?
She was. She was. She looks fucking strong.
Yeah. We talk about bounce and talk about elasticity. She's just got that.
Yeah.
You know, you watch Roxanne, who's like a bit thuddy and very, slow twitch.
Yeah,
and
very
then
labored.
You got Santos has got some, she's got some pop to her.
Mm.
We'll see. We'll see where she goes, but that's a good win.
It's a really
Roxanne
good win.
Is a tough, wily veteran, isn't she?
Yeah.
You've seen it all.
Have they updated the rankings yet? Let's have a quick look. Yeah, Santos has moved up to 8.
Yeah.
And Roxanne's down to 11.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good to keep an eye on her.
Oh, before we talk about Diaz and Laura.
No surprise in the co-main event.
She's fucking frightening.
Mate.
The post. She did an interview the day after, and she was like, "I'm not going to do the rush. I'm not going to do the accent because it will just ruin this. No, it'll ruin the story." But she was just like stared straight down the camera. Was like, "They don't come to the fight broken. I break them when they come here.
Yeah,
because they have a plan and then they realize it doesn't work, and then I break them." And I was like, "Oh my god, I'm glad she's not saying that to me.
Because
she's fucking frightening."
It's like a gradual grilling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing, like, I was watching...
But her demeanour is very, like, hitman-ish.
Yeah, very. Like, calculated.
Yeah.
Like, she makes no mistakes.
Ice in the veins.
For sure.
Fucking
love
hell.
It. I love it.
Yeah.
She's very, very clinical. But then, like, I found this with a few fighters. Like, when I was doing Inside the Octagon and I was, like, trying to break down fights into, like, highlights so I could talk about bits, there are some fighters that they're all highlights. You know, they're all first and second round knockouts and there's nothing all the way through the round until there's this one big flurry and it's madness. And they're really easy to find those parts. Like with Valentina, you kind of need to cut like 80% of the round out and just leave little tiny nuggets all the way through because it's just gradual and consistent. There's no like big standout moments. Mm. You know, it's she's just
workmanlike.
She's just direct.
Just works. Yeah. And, efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do?
You rematch her against Amanda Nunes.
Yeah.
That's what
you do.
There's
anything left, really, isn't it?
Send her up and see if she can get another belt.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. Because they've had two fights. Obviously, Nunes has won both, but one of them was very, very close.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like Shevchenko's kind of dialed down into what her style is now. Like, this is what she does. Mm. You know, I know, obviously, she's looked like a veteran all the way through, but now she's got a far more direct route, which seems to be far less... Far less risky, yeah.
Yeah. All right, then the old boys. It was amazing,
the
wasn't
old
it?
Boys.
It was wicked seeing them in there. I said to you when I got here this morning, I don't like seeing Nick in that shape. Like, that's not the shape that Nick Diaz is in. You know, and then subsequently after the fight, there was sort of some chat about him being pushed into it and he wasn't quite ready and he just didn't look ready.
Yeah.
That's not, you know.
Yeah.
I don't feel like he's incapable of being in the shape that we've seen him in.
No, not at all.
And like muscles and shape doesn't win you fights, but you compared to you through your career gives us a good insight to where you're at, whether that is where your lifestyle is at because it has an effect on your body fat or whatever, or just how your training's been. And he, like, if we looked him, knew nothing about him, we say he's not ready, he's not in shape.
Mm.
You know? And
he said a few things in the build-up though that were a bit concerning as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like when he went off on that little tangent about how it was a terrible fight for him and and then even in the post-fight interview, he was saying, like, he's always very cryptic.
And he
was like, you know, there was like a breakdown in like the support network or something he was hinting at and how this fight came together. And
He feels to me like he's in flux, like he loves martial arts and he hates the corporation UFC type thing, but knows it's a necessity because otherwise there's no money and he needs money to live. But really, he just fucking loves martial arts.
But that's the thing, is it's not a necessity for him anymore. Yeah. It was a necessity, but in the last couple of years, people have proven that you don't need a massive organization backing you with a huge, you know, promotional machine to get you the money that you want. Like you're not telling me that if Nick Diaz wasn't released by the UFC, that he won't be Jake Paul's next opponent.
Yeah.
The only reason that won't happen is because Jake Paul knows he'd probably lose the fight.
Oh, yeah.
He'd 100%. Almost definitely lose the fight.
Yeah.
Especially if Nick shows up in shape.
But Nick does seem in flux, though. It seems like there's a love-hate balance with the sport and everything else to do with the sport that sometimes is love and sometimes is hate, and you can see him, like, he doesn't hide it very well either, does he?
No,
do you know
he
what I mean? You know when he's had enough.
Yeah.
He's had enough of press conferences, enough of the bullshit.
And like, then, where was his team and stuff? Like, there was there were a lot of people commenting on the fact that he didn't have the regular people around him.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah,
I mean, I think more of the story will come out, but it was a shame to see him not come back like at his best.
Yeah.
And he has, you know, we should give him the respect to give him his time and his, you know, when he's ready to come back.
Yeah. Yeah. Of all the people. I mean, he's super skilled, he's super game, of course, but he just wasn't ready, was he?
Yeah.
I don't see anyone use a single hand strike like he does, like 3, 4, 5, 6 shots from the same hand. You don't see that very often, do you?
No, he just paintbrushes people, doesn't he? Yeah. Although I did see there's a fighter, what's his name? Devontae, who's on this card this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And he's really good at single hand striking when someone's grabbed one of his legs. He kind of like paintbrushes with one hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Diaz is as unorthodox as he is interesting in his fighting style. But then you could tell that Robbie Lawler, there was just nothing concerning Robbie Lawler.
Man, he was
like
in
nothing
some
at all.
Shape, weren't he?
Mate, Robbie Lawler fought Nick Diaz the way that Masvidal fought Nate.
Yeah.
Like, this is a comfortable run out,
yeah,
a payday. I'm going to come and smash him up and embarrass him. Like Lawler, you know, obviously, you know, he's got respect for Nick, but he didn't fight that way.
No, but it was like,
you know, he was like rolling stuff off his shoulders, and like there was no respect for anything that was coming back in his
direction. He respects Nick as a human, but he's gonna fight him as a fighter, isn't he?
Yeah,
yeah, he's gonna fight him.
But
as a
there are other fighters that he would have given more space to.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah, for sure.
You're not gonna get. He's not going to get knocked out clean by Nick, is he?
Like he did last
time.
With
a one shot. Oh, yeah. Not in that shape.
That's the thing, is that, like, I think Mystery cut a clip out of something and posted it about something that I'd said about, you know, Nick not having one punch knockout power or whatever. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, yeah, but he knocked him out with one punch last time. But he was concussed at the end of the first round. He'd, like, been primed for the knockout, you know. It's like a body shot. Like, if you catch someone with a body shot, their susceptibility to body shots is increased by 50%.
Yeah, isn't it?
You just can't get back. You can't recover from it.
I want to know why that is. It must be like the muscle tissue must shut down, or like semi-spasm, and then it's just like as soon as you touch it next time, it's like...
It's like hitting an off button and the off button not popping back up to come off again. It kind of gets half stuck. It's like...
Someone at the PI must have a way of explaining that.
Dean should probably.
Yeah, I'll ask him. I mean, Robbie was spectacular, really.
Yeah.
He invested hard in the body, didn't he?
With the right opponent, he's...
Yeah.
You know, I would watch Robbie Lawler fight every weekend. It's just like holding him in that position where, you know, well, you know, we'll match him again now, and we'll match him against another veteran, and, you know, like Robbie Lawler, Matt Brown, and he knocks out Matt Brown, and then we're like, oh, hang on a minute, maybe Robbie Lawler's got another title shot in his run, and then you match him against, you know, someone that's in the top 10 that's trying to make a break, and he gets fucking annihilated, and it's difficult,
it's the Masters,
you know what
division,
I mean?
He could be the Masters champ.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it was good.
Masters champ.
Yeah, it was good. Good card, weren't it? Enjoyed the whole event.
Yeah, it was.
Some wicked fights.
It was. Okay, should we talk about this next
Santos time? Walker.
Let's.
What a train wreck
of a main event that is. I love it.
Yeah.
It's going to be like something Derek Lewis posts on his Instagram. That is.
They're both okay.
It's either that, or it's going to be like Derek Lewis fighting Ngannou. It's going to be one of the two, which is basically how I broke it down in the war room, so...
There you go.
Unless you've watched it, you can save yourself a minute.
There you go. That's it.
That's it.
No, watch it anyway.
I talked for 12 minutes on how that is the case and justified it, but was it about 12 minutes, isn't it?
About 10 minutes.
There we go. I got seven out of...
That was more impressive.
Yeah.
Getting seven out of that was... Yeah. She did four rounds there, didn't she?
Right?
Yeah. Fair play.
Tough old bird.
Fair play. And she was very very professional and showed some real like humanism too in the post fight. You know, yeah. This sort of statement post fight. It's just like, fuck, fair dues. This is the job.
You know, that's it.
Sometimes you fight someone that's a lot better than
that's
me.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, sometimes it's like everybody's in this to get better themselves. Mm. Well, you know.
Most.
From a martial artist perspective, that's what we're here for, right? Mm. Like, we're here to like to get better ourselves as martial artists, and by putting ourselves in a pool where the bar's incredibly high, we have to raise ourselves to that bar.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you jump up and bang your head on that bar, you go, "Oh, okay, well, at least I know where it is now."
Yeah.
You know, might not bang my head on it next time.
Yeah, well put. Yeah. Sharna Young and Stephanie Egger.
Egger. Sure.
Well, she's Swiss.
Yeah, I believe she is Swiss, yeah. Hang on, but that's not the first fight in the
card. Oh, isn't it?
No.
Sure.
I've got Alejandro Perez against Johnny Eduardo here, which is a fucking barn burner. That's a hell
of a
fight.
Who have you got first?
Alejandro Perez against Johnny Eduardo.
Yeah, there's a barn burner.
Mate, I just... Like, Johnny Eduardo is, what is he, 38, trains out in Nova Uniao, and they... Oh, he's 41, fuck me. They bang at... Nova Uniao. I stood and watched a sparring session.
That's a lot of years to be in.
Lots of years. He's Jose Aldo sparring partner, Hakran Diaz sparring partner.
Oof.
Like Leo Santos. Like, he's been through a ringer in that fucking
place. They've been, both of these have been missing for months and months and months. We haven't seen Perez since August 2019. Haven't seen Eduardo since June 2018.
Mm.
They've just been getting their heads kicked in their own gym.
Maybe.
I don't know. There must be some injuries in there, surely.
Must be.
Must be. It sounds like ACLs or shoulder ECOs or something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Eduardo was matched against Burchak, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was matched earlier this year, but he withdrew. It doesn't say why.
Yeah, right.
But, I mean, he's coming off a couple of losses.
Yeah.
You know.
And he got beaten up by Lopez pretty bad, didn't he?
He did.
But at one stage, it goes back to what you were saying about decision-making. At one stage, he was doing pretty good, and he just made a couple of, like... weird basic mistakes, and then the whole fight was turned.
Yeah. I mean, they're both real scrappy. That's why it's a fun fight to start the card off.
I just don't know where they've been. I don't know what they've been doing.
I don't.
Training or they've been out injured. It'll be fiery either way, I think. Yeah. But
I mean, I'm a fan of both of them. I've got to go with Alejandro Perez just because, A, I feel like he's fought more, he has fought more recently. And B, I feel like the people that he's lost to are...
the next level.
Yeah,
he came out
level.
Of tough, didn't he? Went on a bit of a tear
And
then just did everything he was supposed to do until he got to Cody Stamen, and then he was like, oh shit, that's tough.
Yeah.
And then Song Yadong, oh shit, that's really tough.
Like, if you look at some of the names of the people that he's... Like after coming off the Ultimate Fighter Latin American, that was the first season as well, beating Guido Canetti in that. He beat Quiñones, he's got a win over Jorgensen, stopped Hemp Whistle with strikes, defending submissions at the same time. Sukumtath, Alcantara, Matthew Lopez has already got a win over Eduardo as well, hasn't he?
Yeah. He looked good in that as well. He looked really good.
And then Wineland, who's one of my favourite gunslingers in the division. Yeah. But then he loses to Stamen by decision, and Stamen's a tank.
Yeah,
incredible tough. Conditioning.
Yeah.
And then Song Yadong, who's a,
he's a bit sharper and a bit crisper as well, isn't he, than Eduardo, I think. I got Perez.
I mean, the reason he lost to Yadong is because he commits to the same line of attack sometimes a couple of times in a row, and that's it attacks him, and sometimes he travels forward and covers distance really well, but Yadong's waiting to counter him, wasn't he, as he stepped in. I mean, Eduardo can catch him with a shot and put him down for sure, but I'm leaning towards Perez by logic, I think.
Yeah. So who have you got next? Seeing as my
I've got Sharna Young against Stephanie Egger.
Yeah. They're both a bit raw, aren't they?
Both a little bit inexperienced.
Yeah, and a bit, clunky. Yeah. Standing a bit, just both almost equally as clunky.
Yeah.
I felt like Sharna's probably got that nice lead high kick, isn't she, that she flicks out.
Yeah, she caught Macy Chasson around the chops with it, didn't she?
But Macy just ragged her around and sort of beat her up and clinched her and kneed her and elbowed her and
pretty much exactly what Cortez did to Stephanie Egger. Cortez has been working on a ground game with Brian Ortega, you've got to think
in lots of different ways.
We got some dance moves. Did you see him dancing the other day?
Yeah.
Fuck it.
I just find that shit a bit awkward, to be honest.
Well, because you can't do it.
Yeah. Well, Good strikers are good dancers, isn't they? And shit strikers are shit dancers.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know. Eric, I can't imagine that, I can't imagine that Keith Jardine's a good dancer. Oh. I might be wrong, though. Techno Viking's a good dancer.
Yeah, yeah, right? But you have to do a shitload of speed to be able to, to be able to dance like that.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I did a shitload of speed to dance like that in that video.
Is that your confession? Yeah.
Yeah.
So which way are you saying
this? Egger's got some judo, and she's a national judo rep.
Yeah, she's a good grappler. Yeah. I remember chatting to her before that Cortez fight, and she was telling me how she'd like travelled across, you know, countries to enter grappling tournaments and slept in the car. And yeah, I mean, I think if it hits the ground, she's going to be too much for Shana Young, and I think she is aggressive enough to close distance down. But,
yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah,
I got Egger.
Yeah.
There just wasn't anything really with Shana that was like, oh shit. That's
just that lead high kick.
Apart from that, she catches her, catches her, don't she? But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Gatiano Pirello.
Yeah.
Against the gremlin after you've given him food after midnight.
Yeah. Andrade.
Mate, he has got the sharpest cheekbones I've ever seen.
He's fucking in some shape.
He's terrifying.
In some shape.
Remember when he had that mullet as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sick. Definitely would have that.
Gelled it into two gremlin ears.
Yeah. Fuck, he's in shit. He just can't find any winning rhythm, can he?
Not really.
He basically goes win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. He's due a win. I think he's coming off a loss, isn't he?
He is. He lost to Lerone Murphy. But then, you know, you look at the guys. So he's lost to Rob Font, Peter Yan, and Lerone
was very good in that fight.
He was. But then he's beaten Barao and Brandon and Marlon Vera.
Yeah.
You know? It's not. Yeah. I think he wins this. I like Pirello's style, but I don't think he's quite UFC level now.
He got ragged a bit by Ricky Simon, which is not a very nice first time fight in the UFC. Yeah, out of Ricky Simon.
Equally good mullet as well.
Yeah,
if Andrade comes in with that mullet, then it's night time for Gatana. No, I think Andrade by decision.
Yeah.
I just think he's a bit too much for him physically.
I think
a bit too experienced at this level. Hard to read in and out, real fucking.
Yeah, there was nothing about Pirello where I was like, oh, okay.
No.
Right, if he goes down that route, he's in a bit of trouble. I think he's. Andrade should get that, shouldn't he?
I agree. Okay. We are agreeing on a few things today, aren't we?
Yeah, I just wait to see what you say. And then
is that what you're doing this time? Yeah.
So, beard struck.
Is that your best Gareth Davis impression? Alejandro. So we've gone Alejandro Perez, we've gone Stephanie Egger, and then we've gone Douglas Andrade, and we're all same at the moment. Okay, Jamie Malarkey.
Ooh.
What a great fucking name, Malarkey.
Yeah, is that right? Ross's gym, isn't he?
Yeah,
he is. Central Coast MMA.
Uh-huh.
They might have moved, but it's still called Central Coast MMA, I think.
Yeah, it keeps sounding like you like inhaled helium.
Me?
Is that my ears? Is that am I wrong?
Oh really?
He keeps turning into fucking.
Don't want to clear my throat.
Keeps turning into Jar Jar Binks.
I didn't even realise. Don't worry, the comment section will definitely let me know if it's true.
It will.
Referenced every. Why don't you? Do you not look like anyone else?
But
I look like everybody else.
I've been around for. No, I look like Rob Whittaker, apparently.
Oh yeah.
I've heard that a few times. I don't see it myself.
Keith Jardine, Bill Burr.
Yeah.
Who else did they pull? A small pulse. Oh. Carl Pilkington, fair enough.
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Yeah. Brian Kelleher,
yeah. Someone said it was
Techno
weird.
Viking.
Techno Viking. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
They all look like me. Probably older than them.
Swedish looking dude with a bald head and a beard. That's, you know.
Who said
there's just a lot of you. That's
a lot
are,
of us.
It? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Jamie Malarkey against.
Yeah.
We're just fucking with the timestamp guys at this point, aren't we?
Yeah.
We should get on that a bit more.
So I do them.
You do. You do.
But I do it the day after because by the time this all goes up, I've probably gone to bed. And then sometimes if I forget in the morning, someone will jump on and
someone
do it. And I'm
it.
Just like, and now I'm just like, oh, I wonder how long I have to leave it before someone will just jump on there and just do it. And I could just copy it. but no, I will do it. Look, Jamie Malarkey is incapable of a boring fight.
He is absolutely incapable.
Incapable.
In his Brad Riddell fight was just...
unreal.
I loved it.
Absolute madness. I'd watch that over and over.
And it was nice to see him pick up that, you know, a win in his last fight. You know,
it was Karma Worthy's last fight.
Yeah.
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 Lovely long lead left hook, wasn't it?
Kind of similar to what Karma Worthy stopped Devontae Smith with.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it was kind of a bit, they kind of came together and clashed, didn't they?
I mean, look, surely Jamie's plan will be to take this into deep water because Devonta hasn't been out the first round, I don't think. Well, I think he's maybe won second round finish since 2017. He's finished everything in the first round, apart from one. So you've got to be thinking, look, I got to, you know, I could play this smart. I just get the feeling he's not going to do that. He's going to go in. He's going to try and duel it out.
That's what he does, isn't it?
Yeah.
Face first. That's probably why he's training with Ross. He's like, I like this guy's style. He looks like a pit bull.
Yeah. I mean, that's the smart play, right?
It is.
Maybe it's not going to go down that way and then going to see who can land hardest and see who can land first. But if he can drag it into deep water, yeah.
I'd give him 3 minutes. Just let it breathe for 3 minutes. Yeah. Don't do anything mad for three minutes. Then get stuck in.
Air the wine.
Yeah.
Air the wine a little bit.
Yeah.
Decanter it.
Yeah.
Decanter Devonta. Let it breathe.
But that's a nice term. I like that. Yeah. Devonta was the one that I was talking about.
That'll be on a war room next.
Paintbrush.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this. Yeah, you should decanter him. Like, no reference.
You a bit full of yourself today. First of all, he says he's got fans. Hey, what?
Yeah, I do regret saying that. I do. On reflection,
I regret it because Jimmy and Josh get into you at the gym.
Yeah, I won't watch this. Too many big words. I use the word decanter. I fucking know what that means. Idiots.
Sodium.
Oh, I've been loving about
that.
You're
going
to explain that.
Why don't you just put salt?
Yeah, well, how am I supposed to understand these long words like sodium? What does that even mean? Salt, Josh. Just don't eat any salt.
Oh, mate, we are at the polar opposite ends of the... well, no, we're not really, are we? We're like, we're somewhere between like lines and nines is here, we're here, and then here is like the, like Lex Fridman.
Proper highbrow. Not pretend
proper
highbrow.
Conversations.
Yeah.
We're having proper conversations about stuff that's completely inconsequential to anything in the world that matters.
We definitely are not going to be on a podcast called Sniffing Lines and Banging Knives.
Definitely not.
I feel it's quite us, but it definitely is them.
Yeah.
It's a great podcast. It's on Patreon if you want to go and have a look.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend you watch that with your sensitivities turned off.
Yeah, and with your headphones on if you're in public.
Yeah, don't watch it in front of your mum.
No.
And yeah, make sure you get headphones on. But it is very, very funny. You'll enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
They are clinically insane.
Okay. How are you going with this one? Malarkey against Devonta Smith? I'm waiting to see what
I don't know. It depends what Malarkey does, though. Do you know what I mean? Like,
He can definitely win it.
I'll go with Jamie Malarkey. I couldn't pick against one of Ross's boys anyway.
Okay.
I don't think.
Yeah, I'll agree with you.
Yeah,
I mean, Devonta's dangerous, but it's predominantly first round threats. Mm. I think Malarkey can wear him down if he can close him down.
Yeah,
work his body a bit. Don't stand at range where Devonta's, you know, nice and flowy and stinging him with all kinds of stuff. Make it ugly.
Yeah.
That's what Malarkey's all about.
Wow. We've agreed on every single one so far.
I'm just waiting to see what you're saying and agreeing with you. So what do you reckon to the next one then? Carl Rosa against Betch Kohea.
Mate, Carl Rosa, I think she's good. She seems to be getting better as well.
Yeah. She's scary. She just, like, you can watch her fights in double speed and it's the same thing. She's always on the front foot or in top position. She's a nightmare. She's never stopping throwing. I'm a big fan.
Lovely, like a straight 1-2 down the pipe is fast and dangerous. She swings that left hook and follows it with the right leg kick, like off the back of each other, rebounding off the off that elastic hook. Yeah, she's tough, fast, man. She can scrap.
Yeah,
and she beat Jocelyn Edwards, which is that's not an easy win, is it?
Easy win. I mean, Betch is a much more scrappy close range fighter, but she's very untidy.
Yeah,
she's very untidy.
They're at different ends of their careers as well, aren't they? Like,
yeah,
Betch's been around. She's fought a lot of names. She's sort of seen quite a bit of it, and Rosa's coming up.
Yeah, I think Betch was close to the top of a division where the top three or four in the division were really good and then she was just outside of that. But she was good enough to stay above everybody else. You know, she's like that high echelon gatekeeper in this division. But I think the level of the division's passed her by now. Like Irene Aldana and Pani Kianzad, I think, have both shown her that there's another level to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I got Rosa and I sort of wanted to win. I think there's something there. I think there's something that could not, she's not quite there, is she? But there's something not that could be challenging for the
This is the right fight for
the leaders,
her.
Yeah.
I think Rosa stops her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think Rosa's going to be too much. Probably like TKO against the fence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Nice.
Beat her up good and swear her face up.
Yeah, interesting test for her too. She's a name. It's a good name for her to get a win on, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
All right, Rosa.
Wicked.
Love it.
Shevchenko against Casey O'Neill. Antonina Shevchenko against Casey O'Neill.
Yeah. It's tough being one of the baddest women in the world's sisters, isn't it?
She's not quite as good as she. She's not quite as good. She's not quite.
But she does have some lovely kickboxing.
She does, but Casey O'Neill's a bit crowd you and put you on the floor and cause you a lot of problems.
Which is the kryptonite a little bit, isn't it?
The kryptonite. She does get stuck on her back a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You just don't really see Valentina on her back.
No.
But that's probably because she's always on top of the Antonina in training.
Yeah. Antonina should be really good at getting out of a crucifix. Yeah.
Maybe Antonina's the only person that Valentina can't hold down.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I mean? Maybe her ex escapes
against It's weird
that
everyone else can hold her down.
Yeah, well, yeah. logic don't make any sense. I think Casey O'Neill is going to take her down and beat her up.
It's the direct route, right?
Yeah. She looks good, Casey does. She looks strong. You know, she's on a good roll. She's stopping people consistently. You know, rear naked chokes or ground and pound, which is, you know, pick your poison. Do you want to either stay here and get beaten up, or do you want to turn your back and get choked?
And look, Procopio is a difficult puzzle to figure out. Like, she causes people trouble, doesn't she?
Yeah,
she's not elite. She's not top of the division, is she? But she's a difficult person to get past. I think if Casey gets lulled into trying out a kickboxing and proving a point or anything like that, she might come off a little bit worse. But the direct route is for her to, you know, close the distance, put Antonina on her back and beat her up.
Yeah, I think so.
Sub her?
No, I just think she'll beat her up.
Beat her up.
Yeah, I just think she'll beat her. Unless Antonina stays in there long enough, the referee leaves it for long enough for her to turn and give her back.
Yeah.
But I think Antonina will stay facing her and probably get TKO'd instead.
God, you said that with some real, like, venom in your voice. Facing her.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, there are some fighters that as soon as there's an opportunity to avoid getting punched in the face, they give their back straight away. A lot of people would rather deal with that than getting punched in the face. But I just don't see that with Antonina. But you know, I'm not saying that she can't be encouraged by a volume of punches.
If Casey wins those, is that three in a row? Four in a
row? Well, it's seven in a row. She's undefeated.
Oh shit! Whoa.
But yeah, in the UFC, it'd be three in a row in the UFC.
Yeah.
Second round ground and pound against Dobson, and then that third round, standing rear naked choke. And like, she's working as well. I mean, you know, finishing in the third round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Casey O'Neill.
I think O'Neill. I think.
Go get it. Wicked, who's up next?
Okay, I have Joe Selecki against Jared Gordon. See, this is why I tell you to save it for the podcast. Because I said it earlier. I mentioned Joe Selecki and he went, oh, yeah.
Yeah, then he stopped me. Then he stopped me.
And I'm like, save it for the podcast.
So now shit, yeah, I'm all over him. I like Joe Selecki.
No, you didn't save it for the podcast. That's what I'm saying.
We already know this. Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, right. Well, Joe's quite good, I suppose.
Oh.
No, I like him, man. I like everything about him. He's very athletic.
Yeah.
He's rising up through the ranks. He's doing everything he's supposed to do. He's beating the people, you know, they're putting in front of him. Austin Hubbard is a good win, man.
Yeah, that is a good
win.
That's
a really good win.
Yeah. And it is. I mean, so is Jim Miller, especially by decision.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it's impressive to stop somebody, but to go the distance with Jim Miller and beat him over the distance is equally as impressive. I didn't think Matt Wyman looked great, I'll be honest, when they fought. I don't know. He didn't look like the dangerous Matt Wyman that I've seen in the past.
Yeah.
But Jim Miller's always difficult.
The Austin Hubbard fight, he just like dominated him.
All
over him. Mm. Probably got the better of the exchange on the feet, like got hold of him and just did whatever he wanted.
Yeah.
Climbed up on his back, didn't he, and choked him standing.
Yeah, up against the fence.
Yeah, man. He's good. Like, Jared Gordon's been around, and he's been around a little bit longer. He worked his way up to Charles Oliveira a little bit, and then, you know, found his ceiling pretty quick.
Yeah.
He looked great in there with Danny Chavez, didn't he?
He did. He was tough. He did. And Fish Gold as well. You know, we know how good Fish Gold is, how tough he is and durable. But I think that's the thing. Like, we're not going to be able to question Gordon's toughness and his willingness to engage. But I think Selecki probably matches him in those categories and has probably got the edge.
I think he's got the edge. I like it, man.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
I think it can be dangerous.
Yeah,
this will be a good, another good solid win. Like, Gordon Hubbard, they're good names to, you know, to log.
They are.
Yeah, he wins this. He'll get a slightly more recognizable name, I think.
Same again, lightweight division, man.
Yeah,
it's like they're coming. You've got to do so much to make a dent in it. Jim O, I've never heard of him. North Carolina. Oh, Barbarena. Oh, okay. I'm just looking at who he's training with. I've not heard that gym name before. But Brian Barbarena's out of that gym. Scott Holzman's out of that gym. Justin Kish. There's a good few fighters out of here. Decent records as well all the way down. Nice. Okay. You're going with Selecki. With Selecki,
definitely,
yeah.
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 Who have you got next?
Who have I got next?
Serkanov. Or we skipped? Hernandez. We've talked about Hernandez a couple of times, didn't he? But
yeah, he got that shot at Cowboy, didn't he? And talked a load of shit, and then Cowboy looked really good in that fight.
He did look really good, yeah. Didn't he? And the way like Hernandez was moving, it looked like he was irritating Cowboy. He's like, settle the fuck down. And then he was just methodical, wasn't he? Just like, okay, right, young lad, yeah. Do your dancing. Yeah. See you in a minute. And then he just sort of broke him down gradually, didn't he? And you could see like the pop just get drawn out of him. And he was like, oh, shit. And then, yeah, Cowboy was very, very, very good.
Yeah. He just peaked and crashed a little bit. And it looked like the performance of a young guy, yeah, that's got a big opportunity.
But lots of potential.
Oh, yeah, loads.
And there's like, he came through loads. The Texas regional scene, didn't he? He sort of tore through everything. I think the only loss, I think Jamal, he lost to Jamal Emmers, like back on the domestic scene, yeah, before we sort of knew who each of these was. Then he got a shot on RFA and then LFA in Oklahoma, and then got him to the UFC, and he's like, oh yeah, I made the UFC, sweet. Benil Dariush, first one up,
yeah,
happy days. And yeah, then it's like performance of the night,
beats him though, yeah,
yeah,
stops him, then he goes on to Aubin Mercier and stops him,
yeah,
then he gets the opportunity. See, this is where the Cowboy opportunity, you can see how it came a bit too soon for him,
yeah, yeah, it built because of what he did, yeah, didn't it? Mm-hmm. And then he was like, oh, Cowboy, shit.
And then Trinaldo, that's a good win,
yeah,
a good win. But you know, Dober and Moises are people to, you know, if you're going to lose to people in this division, they're the ones. You know, good lessons, like, to learn. Yeah. Going to keep pushing him forward.
They're the ones that are acclimatizing, yeah, to that level, innit? Like, you've got to go up and challenge at those levels, otherwise you're just not going to make it long term.
Yeah. This guy, Mike Breen, is he taking this on short notice, isn't he?
Must be, yeah.
Because Santos was originally, yeah, in this fight, Leo Santos, and he's withdrawn. So Mike Breeden's coming in at, what is he, 10-3?
Yeah.
10-3. Let me have a quick look at the stats as well. So, yeah, he's slightly taller, but has a reach disadvantage. A
couple of wins on Fighting Alliance Championship in Missouri. I don't know too much about him. It's a tough debut.
No, yeah. Factory X Muay Thai for Alexander as well. You know, they're going to make sure he's well prepared for this. Yeah.
He's always in good shape.
He is always in good shape. And if he was doing a training camp for Leo Santos, who's a nightmare opponent, yeah, who fights like once a year, so he's, you know. I think
this is good for Hernandez.
I'll tell you who Hernandez reminds me of is, you remember when Jake Matthews was a lightweight?
Yeah.
And then he just all of a sudden, he took a bunch of time off, went up to welterweight, and then he came back looking at a different level fighter. I could see Hernandez maybe having that kind of turn in his career. Not necessarily going up a weight class because he's, you know, he's height and reach for lightweight, but I can certainly see him having that second phase of his career.
I think his coaches will coach into him efficiency of energy expenditure and where, you know, the tactical game on top. He's got a great physical, you know, he's got a good physical game. He's got some good techniques. He's just got a bit of tactical nous to develop, I think.
Yeah.
And then he'll come back and he'll look $1 million, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going with Hernandez.
Yeah, same. I'm going with
Hernandez. I just
don't know much about him.
It'd be tough to pick him. Yeah, I don't really know anything about him. And Hernandez is good. Yeah.
Aspen lad, Macy Chasson.
I think this might be a bit rough for Aspen lad.
Do you think? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of going the opposite way.
What, do you think she'll put Macy on her back?
I think she'll put Macy on her back.
Yeah.
I know Macy looked really good against Shana, but I don't necessarily think that's her A game. I think she'd rather be on the feet striking.
Yeah.
And I think that Aspen, I mean, she's like a banshee when she gets in top position. She's like screaming ground and pound. I just, every time I think of Aspen Ladd, I see that. I mean, the thing is, I mean, Maisie Chasson's got to be height and reach advantage, hasn't
she? Got a bit. She reminds me of Dal Simov Street Fight. She's so long and proddy, and she kick Jamie from sitting over here.
Yeah. And Aspen Ladd's a little bit upright. I'd tell you something else that concerns me as well. If I was Aspen Ladd's coach, I would be updating Tapology's picture of Aspen Ladd. Like, she's not even making a proper fist in the photo.
Oh, really?
It's like she's like her thumbs are sticking out. I'm like,
it's like she's in boxing gloves.
How are you gonna? The one ring girls make better fists than she does. Fucking, it's awful. It's like really, yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
I think Aspen, like once she closes Maisie Chasson down, she gets a body lock and she starts to trip her and move her around. I think her height starts working her against her. Mm. I think Aspen Ladd's gonna be able to topple her and then smash past her guard and just beat her up.
Yeah. She was on a tear until she came up against Durandamy, didn't she?
Yeah.
That was like watching a grown woman against a girl in some respects, didn't it? She was just
and it was because she runs onto punches because she's not got great footwork. You see, this is where Aspen Ladd struggles. She does tend to chase and follow a little bit. And Durandamy just sets her up perfectly, walked her onto that.
Macy's striking is pretty good and she's quite long and I don't know whether she can keep her at that. I just don't know the end of her punches
The thing is, like, Lena Landsberg is a Muay Thai fighter, and Lena Landsberg took her down and mauled her.
Yeah.
And she didn't have answers for that.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I don't know whether she came into the Shayna Young fight to prove that she could do that to somebody else, but Aspen Ladd, I think, is a different thing entirely. Like, that one stoppage loss to Durandamy, I mean, it was like she walked onto a punch. Mm. 16 seconds, too eager, you know?
Yeah.
She'd been out for it was a quick turnaround, wasn't it? 2 months. Anyway, I just think she walked onto a punch because she wanted to get into the fight straight away. And Durandam is a killer. She's a sharpshooter. I don't know if Maisie Chasson can put her away with one punch like that.
Okay.
I think Aspen Ladd's going to be able to close her down and body lock her and just maul her on the floor.
Side control, crucifix, elbow. I love it.
Terrifying.
Yeah. All right. We're split.
Yeah.
I'm going Maisie.
For the first time.
Yeah, you go Aspen. Yeah.
Plus Aspen Ladd, like, if you look at her Instagram, she's either training or she's like out in the countryside with a pack of wolves.
Right.
Like,
cool.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
she's in.
If you need to find somewhere to bury a body, Aspen Ladd's probably got like
she's
several
got
places
pre-dug
on the map.
Grave.
Yeah.
Like it.
Yeah. Okay. Misha Serkinov, Christoph Jotko. My concern with Serkinov is that now he's a middleweight, and I just don't know as he's. I don't know what that looks like on him. You know, I mean, he's got such a heavily muscled frame.
Muscled, isn't
he? He's in fucking great shape.
He reminds me.
He's
like,
metal as well. You know,
are they
like a proper Bond villain? I sat next to him in Zagreb at an event.
Yeah,
as we were talking, because he talks with a very narrow lips, but you're like all four of those bottom teeth
he
are like.
He looks like a G.I. Joe, doesn't he? Like a
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like he looks like a Bond villain henchman, I think.
Yeah.
He looks like a fucking elite assassin.
Oh, man, he had that fight with Jimmy Crute was fun, weren't it, watching
brilliant.
That. Just madness.
He's just
absolute
had some
madness.
Really rough first round finishes, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, you look at the guys he lost to. Like, Volkan Özdemir was a weird punch to the side of the head. And Özdemir's got weird power at close range anyway. Glover Teixeira is Glover Teixeira. Yeah. You know,
Teixeira'd him.
Yeah, Teixeira'd him.
And Ryan Spann ducked inside a right hand and just hit him with the right hand, I think.
I don't remember that one. Yeah. I remember the Johnny Walker
one.
It was inside,
it was tight, it was inside, and he hit him with the right hand, I think, and dropped him bad.
Like, Johnny Walker made him look like a middleweight, that's for sure. Mm. I mean, Ryan Spann did as well, to be fair. I'm not saying this is not the right weight class for him. I just hope that he's made the cut and he looks good with it.
Yeah,
I don't massively rate Jotko, but
he's gonna grind, isn't he? Like, that's sort of his thing, isn't it? He's gonna grind it out, take you deep, and I think he might have the edge, you know.
His style's rather glacial.
Yeah, it is. He's not pretty to watch,
not,
is it, at all?
Nah. I don't get excited when I see him on the card. Same as Sean Strickland, who he lost to his last fight.
Yeah.
I'd really like Serkinov to take hold of this division. I think he could be top five in this division.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I like Serkinov. I think he's a skilled fighter, and I think he's just... I don't know whether he struggles psychologically sometimes. I don't know whether he's a slow starter and he's paid for that a few times against guys that are bigger and a bit more explosive than him. But like,
he's not going to have a problem with Jotko with that, is he? Jotko's not going to come out firing. He's going to try and grind him. I wonder whether that works in his favour.
I would think so. I mean, Jotko's a decisionator. The only time it doesn't work in his favour is if it goes deep and he's not had a good weight cut. And this is what we'll see on his, when he's on the scales. Like, he must have had to lose a bit of muscle mass.
Has to. Because there was no fat really to lose.
Not really.
Yeah. Like we say, when you hold all that muscle, you got all that water space for the water loading and cut and what have you. But
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see.
I'm going with Serkanov.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Jotko. I think it.
Yeah, I know, and I do feel like it's a bit of wishful thinking because I do want Serkanov to have a good streak because I think he's a good fighter, a talented fighter. And I just kind of Jotko is like a bit of a dripping tap for me, you know.
That might be it. Chinese water torture. That's might be what you're doing. You know when they put you down.
That is hollow, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
That's like tapping on an Easter egg before you crack it open.
Probably cracks as easy as well.
Chocolate Easter eggs. That's,
there's nothing there.
Fuck it. How many years in a row were you disappointed when you cracked open that and it wasn't solid chocolate?
Yeah, why?
I still remember into my teens, like I'd get like a Cadbury's chocolate buttons one and I'd go, oh, fuck, it's not solid. I don't know why I would forget that. It's like forgetting the pain of a tattoo after you've had it. Like 20 minutes later, you're like,
oh, you should get another one.
Why you get... You're like, fucking never doing this again. And then 20 minutes later, you're like,
you've done that a lot.
Fucking hell, it looks wicked. Yeah. Put me in for tomorrow. Do you remember, face.
Like, how many Easter eggs you get when you were like 13, like 12?
Oh, I don't know.
Like a shitload.
I used to build a fortress with them.
Like a shitload.
A shitload, yeah.
I'd never do that with my kids now. I'd be like, you'll have one. No, you know all that chocolate. Are you mad? I swear, like, we'd have nine. Like, all the cousins would bring them around and all sorts. I'd be like, this is awesome.
Yeah, but you get nine Easter eggs and you also spend 9 hours a day running around and cycling outside.
Yeah, true.
Whereas now kids sit like, with 9 hours
on
an iPad.
You can have one Easter egg.
Because you're not burning the calories
off. You can only have 9 hours on the Xbox now.
There you go. Yeah. Or you can have 9 hours playing and nine Easter eggs.
Yeah.
But you've got to do the fucking work.
We've got an MMA to Xbox ratio at home.
Is that right? Yeah.
Come up to MMA and you can buy some time on your Xbox.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Fucking hell. I must have hours of Xbox time.
Yeah,
locked.
You got loads. Go for it, bro. You've got a couple
Taking
of weeks.
A week off. Fuck this.
All right, you go Serkanov or go Jotko.
Yeah. Okay, Nico, this is like a welterweight train wreck, much like the main event. Nico Price, Alex Oliveira.
Nico needs a win, man. Like he's good, right? He just falls short. He just keeps falling short a little bit.
Where's that coming from, Jamie?
What is that? Oh, is that me moving that?
But it is. Oh, shit. It's definitely Ollie's fault.
What happens when you speak, so?
I love it in the comments when someone just posts, not for Ollie.
Yeah, I know.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, hilarious, aren't you?
Yeah.
Hilarious. The ruse. The ruse continues.
The ruse. That'd be your nickname.
The ruse.
If you're a fighter, the ruse.
I'm not a fighter. We've established that. I'm a trainer. I like training. Don't. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
He needs a win.
Have we got a coin?
Nico needs a win.
How do you pick
this one? The unpredictability of Oliveira makes it difficult because he could turn up and smash it or he could just be a bit off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nico needs to keep his fingers out of people's eyes. He does a lot of this.
He does. A lot of this. He does.
Yeah.
And Oliveira needs to keep his winky out of other people generally because he's got how many fucking kids? That's his motivation to be fighting. Yeah. He's either getting away from
a 14 to pay
yeah.
for.
Mate, he's got loads, honestly. He's got loads. He's got like a football team.
Has he?
Yeah, mate.
He's got
loads of kids.
Imagine.
He's had some rough ones, hasn't he? I mean, he's had a couple of first round losses recently to Rachmanov and Randy Brown.
Yeah.
He's a horrible fighter to face though, because he's just
unpredictable and he's a tough puzzle. He's just a puzzle.
Awkward.
You don't quite know what ever evolving puzzle. Yeah. Yeah,
the
problem with Nico is he doesn't have much pop, he doesn't have much pop, does he?
Not really, but neither does Alex Oliveira. I mean, he used to be a lightweight, which is crazy. Neither of them really have a lot of pop, which is why it's probably going to be a bloodbath, like a three-round
bloodbath.
Elbows
and just progressive sort of grind and opening up cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't... excite me massively, but yeah, we'll see.
It doesn't excite me massively, but that's the fight that when people tune in just for the main event, they go, fucking hell, look at all that blood on the canvas. Yeah, where's what fight that from? Was that? Yeah. It's this one. It was this fight. It was this fight. It was from both of their faces. It's definitely going to be a train wreck. I think it's going to be a decision.
I feel like Nico is better than he almost allows himself to be, or better than his record sort of suggests. Like, there's something in there. I'm not sure quite.
I think they both are, though. Yeah. I would say that any argument that you make for Nico Price, you can make for Oliveira. Well. The only thing you can't say about Nico Price is he's got a fucking cool hat.
No.
Right?
No. He doesn't. What's his nickname?
Nico Price's nickname. Yeah. The Hybrid.
Oh, is it?
It is the Hybrid. Mm. The Hybrid against the Cowboy.
It's kind of cool. Nico.
Oliveira.
Oh, I don't know.
Oliveira by decision.
Yeah.
Oliveira by decision. And if he's not bleeding down his t-shirt during the post-fight interview, then
what?
I'll be very surprised.
You'd be surprised. I've got Nico.
Okay. This co-main event's a bit of an odd one, isn't it? Like, I kind of feel like they're trying to get a win on Kevin Holland's record because they like him with a mic in front of him with his mouth.
Yeah, I agree.
I like Kyle Dowcus, but he's got the same attributes as his brother, and his brother's attributes are wicked at heavyweight, but as a middleweight, you just blend
into the background, yeah.
I mean, he did look really good against Dawes. What's his name?
Who?
Fucking Hawes. He looked great, didn't he? Yeah,
he looked really good.
And it wasn't an easy fight. You know, he was able to... I mean, he was caught in that Von Flue choke at one point, wasn't he? And he looked like he was really fucking struggling, especially with the boulders for shoulders.
Cannonball.
The thing he's jammed into your throat. Hawes. But then he was able to reverse it and, you know, just outworked him.
Well, we know sort of where Kevin Holland wrestling's at. Now, you would think he would have been smashing it recently, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But watching that last fight the Dowcus had, I thought that might be a path for him to get the win. He's probably going to get outstruck by Kevin Holland, isn't he? He's very competent, and he's quite unorthodox, and he's just got some cool techniques, isn't he?
Yeah, he has.
But I'm thinking if Dowcus can get his hands on him, take his space away from him, put him on his back, we're going to see whether Kevin's developed or not.
See what I mean? Kevin Holland is a black belt now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like he has got a good ground game, and he does threaten, but he also does quit. He also does give up, and he gets distracted, and he loses interest. And
I think it's almost like he doesn't really want to be down there. He'd rather be stood up, and he's like, "Ugh, this is boring."
Yeah. I think you're right. I think if Dowcus gets a hold of him and takes him down, I actually think Dowcus can sub him. Mm. I think Dowcus can frustrate him and wear on him enough. And he's not going to have the flair in his game that's going to be distracting for him. He's going to know, okay, I need to get inside this guy. I need to get my hands on him, get him down to the floor, and then beat him up for a little while until he gives me that dorsal, that arm triangle. I can see him like head and arm choke. Kevin Holland kind of letting him work into it, thinking it's okay. I know how to get out of subs, and then it gets a bit too deep, and it's fuck. Shit. I'm actually going to go Dowcus.
Yeah,
but I do think it's been matched to try and get a win on Holland's record.
I agree. They do like him, and he's got a good personality, hasn't he?
For sure.
He brings people to the sport, and he's kind of funny.
I think this is a winnable fight for Dowcus. I do worry about where he can go upwards in the division.
Yeah.
But I think this is perfectly within his remit, even though he will most likely be the underdog.
Mm.
I like Kevin Holland, but I do think the main hurdles that he has to cross are psychological. And I don't think we've seen him cross those hurdles
in his last
couple of fights.
Yeah, I agree. Dowcus, I think, is going to get hold of him. And he was really good in that last fight. Mm. That was a tough proposition because...
Yeah. And Kevin Holland, I mean, he's not as physical as Phil Hawes. He's difficult in a different way, but he needs space to be difficult in that way.
Yeah, I mean, but like you feel like Kyle's going to be training with his brother a lot. And,
yeah.
You know, he's going to be a big athletic guy, isn't he?
Yeah. It's just the weird stuff that you've got to count for Kevin Holland.
Yeah.
You know, like that shot that he caught Jacare with off his back.
Yeah.
Like, the fuck?
That's highlight reel shit.
Yeah. Like, that's the kind of thing that you see a guy pull guard on a 6-foot bag in the gym, and he's hitting it with a back fist.
And you're like,
and everyone else is
what
like,
is he
this
doing?
Idiot. Look at this idiot.
Idiot.
And he's like, no, he's just knocked out Jacare with that same technique. Yeah, you're like,
bullshit.
What?
Oh, no, he did.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. All right. And then next week, everybody's on the floor, yeah, pull guard on a bag, and they're fucking backhanding it.
What are we doing today, Jimmy? Backhands.
Backhands from your back.
Yeah.
Backhands. Okay.
Main event car crash.
Go on then. Go on then. Tell me what you think.
Like, Johnny Walker's a bit mad, isn't he?
I need to see them 360 clinic people.
Yeah. They're on Friday. You're on.
Mate.
No, not this Friday. Next Friday. Yeah, Johnny, he's just a bit mad, isn't he? But he's got like, Johnny Walker's got presence. Like, he just has a bit of a presence about him, doesn't he? Like, he's a bit of a character. He's very unorthodox. He's a big dude and he's very athletic.
It's like if Pedro Hizo and Jim Carrey had a baby.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And trained a lot.
Not so much.
He's definitely got the nastiest downward elbows and hammer fist from it. If you're trying to take him down on a single leg, you're gonna beat the shit out of the side of your head.
Mate, did you hear Ryan Spann's corner?
Yeah.
As he was landing those hammer fists, they were going, "What the fuck?" I thought it was Marvin Vittori in his corner. There. What the fuck, ball, bro? Ride my balls. It was he was nearly stopped twice in that fight. I said it in the war room. They could both be on a 3-fight losing streak going into a 5-round main event.
Like crazy.
Like, I mean, what the fuck?
He got taught a lesson by Krylov, didn't he, about how to be efficient and just like cut another cold-blooded sort of efficient performance.
But that's one thing that I will, just to interject on that point, that was the first event where there was no crowd.
Yeah.
And for a fighter that requires...
Yeah, like...
I think that's Johnny Walker's one of them. Yeah, I think for him to be in an empty arena performing to 15 or 20 people around the octagon,
not what he's in the sport for.
No, and I think Krylov is that banana skin for anybody.
Yeah, he doesn't even give a fuck.
No, he's just. I've always said it. Even when he came back into the UFC after being released the first time, and I can't remember who was it he came in against. Jan, I think Jan Błachowicz, and he's a horrible fight for anybody. You know, Johnny Walker, he wasn't able to get him out of there quick enough, so the tide turned and that's, I mean, honestly, I think Santos, if he's going to win this fight, he's got to be a bit more patient, because Walker will run onto something if he lets him. Yeah. But if Santos runs at Walker,
if he gets lulled into like a big dick competition, who can bang the hardest, you know, Walker has enough power to cause some serious problems. And and Santos doesn't need to do that. He's been in there with a lot of different puzzles in front of him. He's been around. It seems like he might have dropped off post-injury a little bit. He got just about everything destroyed in the Jones fight, didn't he, or post-Jones fight.
He's not been the same since
not
then.
Not quite
for sure
been the same. You know, it takes a long time to get over those big recos and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the Teixeira fight couldn't have gone any more scripted, really. That's exactly what Teixeira does to people.
Yeah.
He did have good moments in that fight, but then against Rakic, he just...
Rakic is fucking killer.
Yeah, horrible,
man.
Horrible.
He's a killer.
But I think Johnny Walker could play that game, but he most of the time chooses not to.
Yeah.
Most of the time he chooses to close people down with the most erratic and wild stuff, especially in the first round. Where Santos surprised me was when he fought Jan and he was able to be patient in that first and second round.
That's his blueprint, right?
Yeah.
If he can do that with Johnny, Johnny's probably going to...
25 minutes.
Make
he's
going to
run onto something.
Yeah, not make... I suppose he is making a mistake, but he's going to open enough doors that Santos could walk through him if he wanted to, if he remains patient. I think Santos should win it, but there's plenty of youthful exuberance in Walker and unpredictability that he can catch him. And if Santos has dropped off in reaction time and general body sort of health, it could be a short night. But I quite like Santos.
Yeah.
I quite like him.
I think Walker's going to knock him out.
Do you reckon? You think so?
I think logically, if you're Santos, you're like, okay, if I'm bide my time and I wait for my opportunity, he's going to run onto something. And
like
I said, you know, Johnny Walker was nearly knocked out twice against Ryan Spann. He does recover and he does come through things. And I think say if Santos catches him hard in the first round and Walker's on Bambi legs and he's staggering around, all of a sudden Santos's control and discipline goes out the window and he starts charging at Walker, and then he's going to run onto an elbow or a knee and get knocked out himself. I think it's going to be an absolute train wreck, but I think Johnny Walker is going to kind of just come out on top.
Yeah, Thiago's 37.
37, 29 for Johnny Walker.
It's like,
the other thing
back
as well
in
is
the
high
day,
reach.
Like, you got those two at 28, years old or 27 years old each. They're both at 27. That is a hell of a fight.
It is. But then at that age, Thiago Santos was a middleweight.
Oh, yeah, true.
And Johnny Walker's never making middleweight. No. He's 6 foot six, 82 inch reach. He's got height and reach advantage, like a decent one. I think Walker's got the physical attributes and the explosiveness. Plus, he's coming off a win.
Yeah, and he's feeling not, good about it. Yeah.
And Santos's back's up against the wall.
He'll three have a crowd two a to play to, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. I guess Santos, you go Walker.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like Santos to win to, you know, just keep himself in the conversation because, you know, four losses back to back, you know, it's kind of his streak's coming to an end, isn't it? Especially at 37.
Just an accumulation of the effect of all those wars he's had with those elite level guys. Mm. You know, what's the phrase? The chickens have come home to roost, potentially. A little bit. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Wicked.
All right, it's a bit of a sleeper card, really, isn't it? It's not.
Yeah,
it's
I think
not,
there are some
you
good
know,
scraps
it's,
on
it. Obviously, after 266, they don't necessarily going to put an absolute banger on straight away, is it? But there's some good scraps in there. And
what's your pick for fight of the night?
Fight of the night.
Go on. Give me a. What's your pick for fight of the night? And what's your pick of fuck it? I'll go make a cup of tea now. Fight. That's a new stand. That's a new one we should have, isn't that? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not too fussed. I'll probably tune in late. I'm not too fussed about the Edgar and Young fight, really.
But that Eduardo Perez fight is going to be a banger.
Yeah, it will.
Like, I might tune in for that and then go and make a full meal.
Yeah, wow.
And then come
make
back
a full meal,
and then come back for Selecki and Gordon, maybe.
Yeah, Selecki. Yeah, Selecki be fun. And
no,
I
might come back for the Shevchenko O'Neil fight.
You'll watch the Jamie Malarkey fight.
No, I will. I'll watch the replay on Instagram.
Right, is that how short it's going to be? Just squeeze it
in. No, I think it's going to be. I think that's going to be a hell of a scrap. I do. I just, when I'm looking for fight of the night, I'm looking for two guys that match one another's pace.
Yeah, close enough. Yeah,
I think Selecki and Gordon is definitely a contender for that, for sure. I think Price Oliveira is going to be a mess, and I think that could be a, although Daukus and Holland, you know, I'm not going to be missing any of those. I want to watch all of those live.
Now we've got all right, check out, if you're in the US, check out c4energy.com and use the code FullReptile for 30% off. That one's yours. Mine's done. And jump on fullreptile.co.uk and use the code OUTLAWED for 10% off.
Oh, you made a code, did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I did make a code in there just as we
look
were
at you being organised.
Well, you know, I suppose you do have 24 hours to get it done.
You can give what a nightmare if you tell him that you put a discount on.
Well, don't watch this.
It's too late.
He does watch this, so that's a shame.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, all good,
nice
bro.
One.
Nice one.
Thanks for tuning in. Catch you next time.
Next week.